Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Once a week, the WNYC newsroom planning editor Kate Hines comes by to fill us in on where she is dispatching the news team to gather interesting and important news. And because she is the planning editor, Kate, you didn't know this, we renamed your segment yesterday.
Oh.
It's called Kate Has a Plan.
For this edition. And it's world domination.
This edition of Kate Has a Plan. Now, according to the plan notes, there are big doings locally, but also this big national story about the college admissions. That's all anybody's talking about.
Oh, yeah. My social media feed was just filled with it.
All right. We're going to get into that in a little bit. If you know the story already, you can prepare your comments and call us at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Want your thoughts on parents spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for preferential treatment? We'll get to the details in a minute. But first, let's go local. Hudson Yards is finally opening.
Over a decade in the making.
2001, I think, when they started talking about it.
Forever.
What's happening today?
So, well, they're getting ready to formally open it, which happens on Friday. It's kind of, Friday. You know, people are already living there. There are offices already having tenants in them. But Friday is when the retail portion opens. There's this mall that is going to be open there. And the Vessel, this is this giant, I don't even know how to describe
it. It's like a giant Dixie cup to me.
It looks like some sort of weird honeycomb-like structure to me. I can't.
Oh, yeah. Like a hive.
Yeah.
A plain on hive.
Exactly. Like an inverted hive. Gothamist has some great pictures if you want to go see it on the website. But that will open as well, although you need tickets. And it's this structure through which you can walk inside and gaze upon Hudson Yards. But it's not really high enough so that you can gaze out over the city. You can sort of gaze out at the rest of Hudson Yards. There will be an observation deck. That will be the highest observation deck in the city, although I will never go to it because part of it has a glass floor. And just the thought of it makes my stomach do flip-flops. So we are going to have a conversation tomorrow morning with the New York Magazine architecture critic Justin Davidson on his take on Hudson Yards, sort of, you know, the architectural view and how it fits into the rest of the city. And on Friday, Charlie Herman is going to talk about it on Money Talking, so we'll kind of get a sense of the financing of Hudson Yards, which has been in the news a lot lately. You know, the city's given Hudson Yards a lot more in tax breaks than it would have given Amazon, so it's kind of a delicious conversation to have.
Excellent. We look forward to that. The MTA, you are also covering the MTA's plan for newsstands. Of all the things the MTA has to contend with, why are they focusing on newsstands?
Because you've probably noticed how many of them are vacant. Like 40% of them are vacant right now. And I think that actually speaks volumes about the death of print media, because so many of them sold newspapers and magazines, and that those just aren't selling the way that they used to. So now the MTA, and they're being very cautious and saying it's not about man versus machine. We want to install vending machines, but we also want to keep, you know, subway vendors in business. We're trying to work something out with rents and whatnot. So they're going to start rolling out vending machines in places that don't have current newsstand tenants. They're kind of being cagey about what those vending machines are going to sell. I wanted to say pharmaceuticals. That's not quite right. Toiletries, we've been told, is one item. And the other item are electronic things like headphones and chargers.
That's smart. Wow.
Is it, though?
I think so. I think people who have, like, left home and they don't have them in their bags or going to the airport or on business, I think that's smart.
Yeah, I mean, I think the chargers would have to be sort of like fully charged for you to want to buy it, because it's not, I mean, you
that's
can
true.
Find some plugs
batteries
somewhere.
Would be
there you go.
Charged batteries.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. We found the answer. Okay, to the big story. This is the New York Times headline. College admissions scandal, actresses, business leaders, and other wealthy parents charged. 50 people total were charged. 33 parents in this scam that the Department of Justice had been working on for years, where people in various ways bought their kids into competitive and elite universities. Let's take a listen. First of all, we do want to get your thoughts about this. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. But first, let's all listen to Andrew Lelling, the U.S. attorney from the District of Massachusetts.
We're here today to announce charges in the largest college admissions scam ever prosecuted by the Department of Justice. We've charged 50 people nationwide with participating in a conspiracy that involved, first, cheating on college entrance exams, meaning the SAT and the ACT, and second, securing admission to elite colleges by bribing coaches at those schools to accept certain students under false pretenses. Overall, today we have charged 3 people who organized these scams, 2 SAT or ACT exam administrators, 1 exam proctor, 1 college administrator, 9 coaches at elite schools, and 33 parents who paid enormous sums to guarantee their children's admission to certain schools through the use of bribes and fake academic and athletic credentials.
That was Andrew Lelling, U.S. attorney from the District of Massachusetts. And the kind of money we're talking about is one set of parents paid $1.2 million to get their daughter into Yale, and she magically became a star soccer recruit. How are you guys going to cover this?
Well, we are getting a lot of tape today. We want to speak to college students. We want to speak to high school students who are currently waiting for their college admission notices to come in. We are talking to people who coordinate prep programs for kids who are first-generation college students, would-be first-generation mm-hmm. college students. We kind of just want to test the waters and see what people are talking about, and but mostly what students are hearing and thinking and feeling. That's really whose voices we want.
It's sort of interesting. It's, you know, most college admissions will tell you, and they're really honest, they're being transparent. I've been in the room where people have been transparent about this, that mm-hmm. there are a certain number of slots for extraordinary athletes. And there are a certain number of slots for extraordinary musicians and extraordinary people in science. And I think the bottom line people are getting to is that being rich is not an extraordinary talent, right? And the loophole that this person has found, the one person who's sort of the conduit through all of this, is the athletic portion. Because they do set aside parts mm-hmm. for sports. Sports bring a lot of money for schools, and athletes who are scholar athletes spend a lot of time on the field, and, you know, maybe their grades aren't as high. By falsifying that they were athletes, so they could slide into this side door. It's really bizarrely clever.
I know. And that is a piece that National NPR is going to be breaking off today on All Things Considered.
All right, we've got a call already. Mike from Sparta is calling in. Hi, Mike. What do you think about this?
Hi. I actually am a criminal defense attorney here in New Jersey, in fact, and I represent a lot of trust fund kids. And they, all I can say is that they end up getting a better outcome than people without money. Kids with money do very well, and kids without, and they kind of almost get away with anything, and kids without can't. And that's really how our society is kind of stratified. College admissions, when I heard this, I thought, well, you know, that's just, it's pretty typical for the way that things work. Is it right? No, but it is the way it works. And in this case, it's something that is, you know, illegal and unscrupulous. But you find the unscrupulous part kind of in all sorts of parts of society. And this is really just no different. You know, terrible, but there it is.
Mike, thank you so much. It's interesting that Mike should talk about the terrible part. That's been part of the discussion. And actually, Andrew Lelling responded to that. Mm-hmm. This is the way he characterized it. We're going to go to clip number 3, Matt. We will.
We're not talking about donating a building so that a school's more likely to take your son or daughter. We're talking about deception and fraud.
I like that the donating a building, see, you know, it's like, that's fine. That's totally cool. It's the deception and fraud part that really stands out. What Mike just talked about in his call, if I can paraphrase it, is basically like kids with money will fail upward. You know, like in a situation like this, the deck is so stacked against people who are first generation college students, low income, don't have everything aligned perfectly in so many ways, that the idea that we still cling to this idea that college admissions can be a meritocracy, that if you only work hard enough and if you really study hard for the SAT, it's going to be, you're going to get into the college that you deserve to get into, which is why this is so crushing to hear and yet so obvious for so many people who know that the system is rigged in so many ways already.
So this is, I was telling you, I had a little bit of insight into this. Years ago, I did a piece for 60 Minutes, and it was about a young man, bright young man, who people paid him to take the SATs for them, including a girl. Okay? So
How did he swing that?
Well, that's the question for the college board. That's what we asked them. And it was just incredible because there was this interesting debate going on within the production team and the producers, so much more on the executive level, is that they were really, this kid's terrible. I was like, well, I actually think this kid has found a way to exploit the system. How about the people who are paying him to do this? It's a really interesting sort of moral question about who's worse, you know?
The other interesting thing is I've noticed that more and more colleges are going test optional. So,
well, because you can buy, if you have test prep,
right?
If you're able to have a private tutor, come on, you're going to get a better, higher score. And who can afford that? I'm on my soapbox.
I'm only nodding.
I'm sorry. I'm on my soapbox. We're discussing the college admissions scandal. It is pretty extraordinary. A high school boy who was eager to enroll in USC, this is from the New York Times, I'm reading this, was falsely deemed to have a learning disability so he could take a standardized test with a complicit proctor. A student with no experience rowing won a spot on the USC crew team after a photograph of another person in a boat was submitted as evidence of her prowess. Her parents wired $200,000 into a special account. Some of the fraud in this part is that the money was going to a quote-unquote charity.
Right. One of the things that also stood out to me is that a lot of what the media has seized upon are the female actors. And I thought to myself, you know, I threw my hands up in the air and said, it's always the mother's fault. You know, it's Felicity
I've seen
Huffman
that somewhere before, yeah.
And Lori Loughlin. Of course it's them. No one's talking about their husbands, which I know is not entirely true, but still stood out to me.
All right. Can we take some couple of calls? Anybody on the line we can check in with? Diana said she is sad for the people who actually depend on the sports scholarships. That's a big issue. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I just wanted to say I feel heartbroken for the poor students who have used athletics to help them rise to a higher position in life. They must feel very discouraged that the one avenue that's open to them, let's face it, I'm a musician, and being a musician, an extraordinary musician, requires an input of money that is hard for poor people to attain, lessons and instruments. And I just really want to express that I feel the pain of their heartbreak, that their one avenue was taken again by overprivileged people who think they can just do anything they want. And what I'd like to know also, my question is, how in the heck did they ever discover this, and who pursued it? Because it's one thing to complain, hey, my kid didn't get in. But how? I would really like to know what started the investigation that they took it seriously enough to investigate.
Was originally, it was internally known as Operation Varsity Blues, which I find interesting. Let's see if we can, maybe you can figure that out. That would be great to report on. Let's go to Jennifer on line 7. Hi, Jennifer.
Yes, hi, Allison. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I just wanted to say that the corollary to this is the idea that when you get into these top-tier institutions, I personally don't know anybody who came out of an Ivy League school with less than a B in any course. And it's kind of like once you're initiated and in the club, they want to make sure that you maintain, you know, a certain level. And then they're, you know, propagating you and you're going to go to the right graduate schools and everything else. So it's once you're in, you're in. And I think the grade inflation issue is part and parcel to everything else that we're talking about.
Right. I have heard that, too, Jennifer, that some teaching assistants at colleges and universities talk about how there's a lot of pressure to not give lower grades, and how even, someone was saying in a story today that this kid would have failed a high school English class but is getting a B minus at the college level because of the pressure to make sure that these kids pass.
Let's see if we can squeeze in a couple more calls. Peter from Huntington on line 8. Hi, Peter. Hey, Peter, you there?
My observation.
Yes.
My observation is that egregious as it may be for the scandal with its explicit bribery What does it look like, though, in the context of legacies, the context of donations for buildings or donations to college funds,
Peter,
the presence of Brooks Academy and other elite schools?
Yep. Going to have to wrap you there, Peter. Thank you so much for calling in. Kate, you'll be on it.
I will be.
And we'll have you back. WNYC's planning editor, Kate Hines, and thanks to everybody who called in. You've been listening to all of it on WNYC. Stick around. Got another hour show coming up. We'll be right back.